You're listening to SBS On The Money with Ricardo Gonçalves.
Coming up, financial stress rises, the Bank of England points to lower interest rates, and the latest on the Chinese economy. That's all next. Hi everyone, this is your daily 10-minute business and finance news wrap for this Friday, the 10th of May 2024. The Australian share market rose today by 0.4%. We'll have the details with Omkar Joshi from Opal Capital Management. But first, to financial stress. Levels have reached an 8-year high. A 2,000 people survey by NAB found well-being levels remain depressed in Australia and at levels near those at the start of the pandemic. For more, I spoke with Dean Pearson, the head of behavioural and industry economics at NAB.
They're quite stressed, Ricardo. They're at about 8-year highs now. We've been running this survey for well over a decade, and the sorts of responses we're getting back are very elevated. Now, the way we define it, we base it on around 14 really quite typical household stresses, things like people's ability to pay their mortgage, pay their rent, pay utility bills, even things like go on a holiday, but also more pressing things like their ability to raise $2,000 in an emergency. So collectively, we look at all of those things and get a, I think, pretty comprehensive picture of how they're feeling about their money and their finances.
So what are they most concerned about?
The one that comes through most strongly, and it always does, is your ability to fund retirement, which is a fairly normal way that people look forward and are concerned about things in the future. But there are more pressing things closer to home, things like rent, things like mortgages. And the more you delve into people who are struggling more financially or on lower incomes, it really is that ability to raise $2,000 in an emergency to have that buffer should an unexpected expense arise.
One of the key things that I found interesting in your report this time around was a question centered on what households intend to do with the extra money they get from the stage three tax cuts, which come into effect from July. So what can you tell me? What are they expecting to do? And why do you think that is?
An awful lot of them are saying, I'm going to save that. And I think this is sort of part of the broader narrative that we're looking at, which is, yes, people are financially stressed, but on the back of that, they're making some very responsible decisions about trying to shore up their financial position. So one in three Australians say, I will save that tax cut. About another one in five say, I'll pay down debt. So you've got one in two people basically saying, I'm either going to save it or pay off debt. They're not planning on spending it frivolously. They really are looking at to shore up that financial position, which aligns with the sort of stresses that they're highlighting to us.
And what about the outlook for well-being? How's that looking now?
Yeah, well-being's a broader sort of concept that we've been tracking for a while, that Daniel Kahneman came up with the way to define that, the great psychologist. And we asked people about their happiness, their life worth, their life satisfaction, and also their anxiety. Now, when we asked about that, things aren't great at the moment, the way that Australians are reporting that. So well-being levels are sort of approximating the levels we saw when the pandemic first hit. They're quite low. Having said that, the more I research well-being, the more I sort of understand that it's a very retrospective concept. So the way people perceive their well-being today is largely based on what they thought their life would be like as of now. Now, I think people came through the pandemic quite resilient. Some weren't, but the vast majority of us came through quite well. And then we rolled into this cost of living crisis. And I think those two things collectively have impacted how people feel. But as I say, it's quite a retrospective way of looking at life. And there's some big positives coming through, not just in the behaviours and them building up savings, but as we look towards the latter part of the year, the economy starting to improve. We might get some rate cuts later in the year or next year. We've got savings buffers building. So I think that well-being scenario can start to improve as we get through the year, hopefully, and people start to sort of get on top of their lives the way that they are at the moment.
That's Dean Pearson there from NAB.
Now, Market Day on the SBS On The Money podcast.
Well, it was a relatively quiet day on the S&P ASX 200. It did close higher, up by 0.4%, 7,749 for the day's market action. I spoke with Omkar Joshi, the Chief Investment Officer at Opal Capital Management. Omkar, let's focus on interest rates. The Bank of England held rates at 5.25% but pointed to potential rate cuts. Sweden earlier in the week actually cut interest rates, so it's really an outlier. The US now seeing evidence of a weakening labour market overnight, but obviously the Reserve Bank of Australia left interest rates on hold this week but said, hey, we're not committed to a rate cut or a rate rise. So what's your take on global interest rates at the moment and the implications for investors?
So I think where we are now is we've obviously seen rates go up a long way over the last few years. And I think at this point in time, we're probably in that period where interest rates are probably going to stay higher for longer and stay steady. So I don't see, you know, a sharp increase in rates from where they are now, but I also don't see a quick decline. Simple reason for that is the economy is still quite resilient. You know, unemployment's still pretty healthy and overall the economy has been pretty good. For that reason, there's no real need to start to cut rates rapidly. I mean, you called out the UK and even Sweden. I mean, their economies are doing worse than ours. And so that's why I think it makes sense that the RBA has not really taken, you know, a tone of we're going to start cutting rates. I mean, that's not to say they won't cut rates if the economy gets worse, but it just means that at this point in time, there's no real pressing need to start cutting rates when the economy is still quite healthy. And you do run the risk that you start cutting rates too early and inflation starts to kick up even more again. And you end up in that vicious cycle of rates going down while inflation is actually starting to go up again.
Chinese exports and imports returned to growth in April. Is the tide turning in China yet?
Look, I think it's still pretty early in that, you know, it is one data point, slightly better, but I think China is still pretty patchy at this point in time. Look, it still helps sentiment that the fact that you had better numbers come out, but I wouldn't necessarily say that we're at that point where the tide's definitely turned and, you know, we're off to the races from here.
We heard from a lot of the banks over the past couple of weeks in terms of profit numbers. The Commonwealth Bank came out with third quarter numbers yesterday. It said that arrears are starting to rise. We heard from the same thing from the Suncorp's banking unit today. Is this something to be worried about?
Look, I think it's always a bit of a concern or a bit of a risk, especially at this point in the cycle where you've got a period of rates having risen for quite a period of time over the last couple of years now. You've also had the fixed rate mortgages roll off. And so there are, I guess, inbuilt pressures that are in the system, but they haven't actually expressed themselves in terms of bad debts just yet. Obviously, it makes sense given that mortgages and houses are the last thing that people look to offload. So it's definitely a risk. Now, is it a massive issue as such? Not yet. Does that mean it's going to become a massive issue? Not necessarily either, because you could actually sail through. If you have a soft landing, you might actually be fine, but it is an inherent risk in the system. It's definitely something to be aware of and thinking about. But that doesn't mean it's going to be a big blow up as such. It could actually all be fine and you might just have a slight uptick and it might be okay. But it's definitely something to keep on the radar.
And where do you see the opportunities for investors?
So at the moment, I think it always pays to really be stock specific and look for the individual names that are doing well, individual sectors, as opposed to trying to necessarily just pick, you know, just a blanket, you know, this is the area you want to be in a particular sector it might be. I think it always makes sense to go down to the stocks, understand what you're buying and go about it that way, because there's always good opportunities, even in a whether the market's going up, down or sideways, there's always some good stocks everywhere.
Is Omkar Joshi there from Opal Capital Management? This SBS On The Money stream is provided for informational purposes only. The content in this stream should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and it does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.
This SBS On The Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only. Content on this podcast should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.